On May 12, 1853, flames swept through a church building in downtown Hartford, bringing to a close the brief but consequential history of Holy Trinity Church, the cradle of Catholicism and the state of Connecticut.
God bless America.
God love you. I want these to be my first words of greeting to you. They will be the concluding words on each broadcast.
I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party's candidate for president.
Annuncio opus Gaudium Magnum. Habemus Papam.
You've embarked on a Catholic history trek.
As was the case throughout New England, in the colony of Connecticut, there were few Catholics through the 18th century, the faith being effectively outlawed in the strongly Calvinist region. There were probably a few French and Irish Catholics, but their histories are hard to trace. If they didn't fall away from Catholicism, then they practiced it quietly. There were definitely Catholic Acadians who settled in Connecticut after their expulsion from Canada by the British in the 1750s. Oral history indicates that two Acadian priests were present in Hartford in that period. Their paths, too, though, are hard to trace. The legal and social environment was still hostile to Catholics, and they probably assimilated or moved on. As in much of the rest of the country, however, religious toleration increased after the Revolution and independence, and Catholicism was gradually granted greater latitude in Connecticut. Still, the growth of the church was slow in the beginning. In 1808, the Diocese of Boston was erected, and its first bishop, Jean Chevreux, made occasional forays into Connecticut, as did the second bishop, consecrated in 1825, Benedict Fenwick. A history of the Diocese of Hartford describes this period. Until 1830, there was not a Catholic church in Connecticut. When Bishop Chevreux and Bishop Fenwick and others who preceded them visited this portion of the Lord's Vineyard, they said Mass, preached, and dispensed the graces of religion in private houses and in public halls. Sometimes the Holy Sacrifice was offered in barns, suitably prepared for the joyous occasion. It was Bishop Fenwick who appointed the state's first resident priest, Father Bernard O'Cavanaugh. O'Cavanaugh arrived in Hartford in 1829 and inaugurated the creation of his new parish, which comprised the entire state of Connecticut. Hartford, one of the nation's oldest settlements, was already almost 200 years old at that point, having been founded as a fort by Dutch fur traders in the 1630s, and was, with New Haven, one of the state's two capital cities. It would be the sole capital from 1875 on. O'Cavanaugh arranged for the purchase of an unused Episcopalian church and moved it to the corner of Main and Talcott. While the building was being renovated and converted to Catholic use, the priest held masses in the Masonic Hall in Hartford, a seemingly curious choice in light of the church's historic antipathy toward Freemasonry. By June 1830, the renovated church was ready for dedication. A contemporary description says it was 68 feet in length and 48 feet in width, had a fine organ, two sacristies, a spacious basement for a Sunday school, and a variety of apartments. It was solemnly dedicated as the Church of the Holy and Undivided Trinity by Bishop Fenwick on June 17, 1830, with Father O'Cavanaugh as celebrant of the Mass. The church was full, but mostly of Protestants, again an instance of interesting ecumenical cooperation in the early American religious scene. One historical account notes that one remarkable fact about the dedication Mass was that the organist was a 13-year-old girl who also sang leading soprano, assisted by her teacher, her 14-year-old sister. She was hired by Father O'Cavanaugh for $90 per year. The same account described the day as a bright and happy event for the devoted children of the faith in Hartford. It was a harbinger of future blessings, a presage of other and still more precious favors from heaven. In the summer of 1830, Father James Fitton arrived as assistant to Father O'Cavanaugh. O'Cavanaugh left shortly thereafter, and Fitton succeeded him as pastor. O'Cavanaugh went west, where he served another Holy Trinity parish as the first Irish priest in the city of Detroit. Back at Holy Trinity in Hartford, Father Fitton reported 126 communicants in his parish in 1832. That year was also the first confirmation in Connecticut, by Bishop Fenwick, of 24 confirmands. Fitton left in 1836, but I expect that we'll meet him again in our episode on Rhode Island. In an 1835 census of the parish, that is, the state of Connecticut, Bishop Fenwick found 720 Catholics. In 1843, Hartford was made a diocese encompassing the states of Connecticut and Rhode Island, and Holy Trinity became a cathedral. The first bishop, Vermont native William Tyler, was consecrated in 1844 and installed at Holy Trinity Church in April of that year. There were still only three resident priests in Connecticut, with pastors and parishes in Hartford and New Haven, and just over 4,000 Catholics in the state. That was good growth from the 720 that Bishop Fenwick found in 1835, but it was still a tiny minority. Of the 13,000 residents of Hartford, only 600 were adult Catholics. Because of the scarcity of Catholics in the state, Tyler and the other bishops of Hartford during this period resided in Providence, Rhode Island, where the Catholic population was much larger. At Holy Trinity, following Fitton, pastors were Peter Walsh, then John Brady. Of Father Brady, we have a full description from a history of the diocese. In person, Father Brady was of medium height, squarely built, with a clear, light olive complexion, raven-black hair, a remarkably sonorous voice, a firm step, and his appearance and demeanor quite attractive. He was precise about his dress, scrupulously neat, not over-social in his associations with his parishioners or fellow citizens, yet by no means haughty or arrogant. All loved and reverenced him with a genuine affection that had no trace of flattery. He hated a flatterer. As a preacher, he was plain, persuasive, and effectual, always preaching on Sundays, both at Mass and Vespers, precise as to his hours of duty, unremitting in the discharge of all obligations. He never complained of being overworked. Brady was a native of Ireland. His first posting as a priest in the U.S. was in New Hampshire. He succeeded Father Fitton at Holy Trinity in 1836. Brady inaugurated a day school and a Sunday school. Looking to improve on the current arrangement of the pastor's residence in the basement of the church, Father Brady built a rectory. There he hosted the famous Irish temperance crusader, Father Theobald Matthew, for a week in 1848. The pastor, one history notes, took the liveliest interest in the cause of temperance. For more on that subject, see Scott's episode number 133. By mid-century, Hartford was on its way to becoming a major manufacturing center, especially the manufacture of firearms. Samuel Colt built his Colt Armory there in 1855. Heavy Irish immigration in the 1840s swelled the Catholic population of Hartford. By 1849, Holy Trinity Parish had 1,000 members, and a new church was needed. Brady purchased a lot on the corner of Church and Ann Streets and built the Church of St. Patrick, dedicated in 1851. After that, Holy Trinity wasn't used much, and it was destroyed by fire in 1853. So disappeared the cradle of Catholicism in Connecticut. Father Brady, too, had a tragic end. Due to some unspecified conflict between him and his bishop, he was removed as pastor of St. Patrick's in the summer of 1854. In November, he learned that the decision was final, and a few days later, he died. He was buried at the front of the church he had built. Providence, Rhode Island became a separate diocese in 1872, so the Hartford bishop was now resident in the city. The new Cathedral of St. Joseph was constructed. It, too, burned down, though, in 1956. It was, of course, rebuilt. The present Cathedral of St. Joseph was finished in 1962. The church in Hartford and all Connecticut continued to grow by leaps and bounds through the early 20th century, mostly as a result of immigration. By 1890, there were more than 150,000 Catholics in Connecticut, making it the largest faith community in the state. By 1908, Catholics numbered almost 400,000, and they were served by more than 300 priests, a truly dramatic shift in the religious landscape as compared to 100 years earlier. The bane of churches struck again. The Brady-built St. Patrick's was itself destroyed by fire in 1875, but the rebuilt St. Patrick's Church continues as part of the parish of St. Patrick St. Anthony, a legacy of the two principal Catholic immigrant groups that populated the Church of Hartford, Irish and Italians. There is a Holy Trinity parish in Hartford today, but it has no connection to the original. It was established in the 1890s for yet another immigrant group, the Lithuanians. So the first Holy Trinity, the cradle of Catholicism in Connecticut, is no more, but it served its purpose, sheltering the church in its infancy and providing the basis for its remarkable growth in Hartford and beyond. And before the closing prayer, a quick reminder that you can contribute to the Catholic History Trek podcast through PayPal by sending your donation to Kevin Schmiesing at Catholic History Trek. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Catholic History Trek. You can reach us at catholichistorytrek@gmail.com.